Imagine I am a caterpillar. Go with me for a minute. Imagine I'm a caterpillar and I'm walking around doing the things that a caterpillar does, which I don't really know. I guess they just eat a lot of leaves. And at some point in my life, I start to spin or to start to make a cocoon. And we know from science that after a little bit of time, something very unique happens. I actually will become something different than I was before. I become a different creature, a new creature than the one I was a few, whatever, I don't know how long it takes, but before, I become something different than what I was before. I become a butterfly. Now, how crazy would it be if after I emerge as a butterfly, I just said something like, I'm just a caterpillar, and I never fly, because I still think I'm a caterpillar. And so I'm only crawling around, still doing the same things that I did before. You might say that butterfly, that me, that I don't understand, my identity has changed. My very being has changed. I'm a new creation. Well, today we're going to be looking at how our identity in Christ is that we are made new and that we have actually been made righteous. We are in a series called The Armor of God, and today is the second part, and we're going to talk about righteousness. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're listening. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us afresh. May we hear what it is that you want to speak to us directly today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we're in the Armor of God series. Last time we talked about truth. We talked about how God's word is truth, Jesus is truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. We also talked about how the devil likes to attack truth. Today, we're going to be talking about our righteousness and also how the devil attacks our righteousness. Now, I would say that probably every Christian knows that Jesus is righteous. He's paid the price for our sins. He's called the spotless Lamb of God. But some confusion starts to get into the mix when we start to think about our righteousness. Our righteousness. We know Jesus is righteous, but what about us? So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at some several passages that talk about this topic. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So it says, verse 17, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. We are that butterfly that has emerged. If something has occurred, when we get saved, something changes. And we're called the righteousness of God. Now, like I mentioned a minute ago, that sounds kind of weird to say, wait, how can I be the righteousness of God? How can I be called righteous if I still have sin in my life? Well, we're going to unpack that. A lot of this has to do with our identity in Christ. So we're going to take a look at a couple Old Testament passages that give a little insight into that. Let's go to Ezekiel, everybody's favorite book, Ezekiel. How many of you read Ezekiel this week? All right. It's right there next to Leviticus in probably the books that are read the most. But it is a good book, even though sometimes it's hard to understand. And this is actually a section where it's actually a prophecy, kind of foreshadowing or talking forward about the new creation. It's kind of in the midst of all this other stuff, and then all of a sudden it sounds like, wait a minute, that sounds like something I recognize. Ezekiel 36. Now, this is the Lord speaking, all right? This is the Lord speaking in this passage. Starting in verse 25. Sorry, I'll put it up there for you. Verse 25. All right. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Look at that, verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. We have been made clean, and we've been given a new heart. I think he's referring to the new creation. Because when we are born again, our heart is what is born again. Our heart, sometimes it's called our inner being. Sometimes it's called our spirit. That's the part of us that's been made new when we're born again. And that's actually the part of me as a Christian that wants to do the Lord's will 100% of the time. The heart of a Christian actually wants to do God's will all the time. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more as we go along. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of us. He lives in our hearts. Jesus lives in our hearts. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, I'll just read it to you. It says, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's accurate to say the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. It's also accurate to say Jesus lives in our hearts based off of this verse. And I think that's why we use the terminology, you know, sometimes, especially with younger people, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? Because it's something that they can understand a little bit better. So both are accurate, but Jesus lives in my heart. And so my heart wants to follow Jesus 100% of the time. All right, now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 31. Now here he's talking about the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 31. Again, this is the Lord talking. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. It says in verse 33, I'll put my law within them and write it on their hearts. The old covenant was written on stone. The new covenant is written on our hearts. That's why our hearts want to follow the Lord. It's been written on our new heart, our new creation heart. So our new creation heart's desire is to follow the Lord. And because of that, we're made righteous because of what he's done. So let's just take a second and talk about this. What is righteousness? There's a lot of different ways to define it. One of the most helpful ones that I have heard is very simple. It just says, if you are righteous, you are in right standing with God. You're in right standing with God. Well, how can I be in right standing with God with all, you know, with sin in my life as a Christian? Verse 34, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Christ has paid the price for our sins, so none of it is being remembered anymore by God, which is great. We are righteous before God because of Jesus. It's like this substitution. We read this a few minutes ago. I'll read it in the NIV, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin, he's talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We have been made righteous because of what Jesus has done. Think of it like this. Imagine you got this old rundown car. Anybody ever had an old rundown car? My first car in college was 89 Buick Century, and it was at the end of its life, and it was in pretty shape. It would leak, like the little rubber sealant was gone. So anytime it would rain, I kept a cup in the floorboard, and I would literally shovel out water into the parking lot. This one was weird. Anytime I'd go over a hill or speed bump, the rearview mirror would fall off. So sometimes I would just pick it up and hold it as I'm driving. It was in terrible shape. Maybe you can relate to that. Well, let's just say that that car finally stops working. All right, it's run down. You're in a car and it stops working. You can't even start it anymore, but you owe payments on it. And you're stuck because you can't pay off the payments. What do? You're stuck. Well, let's just say there's this guy that drives up in this brand new, shiny new car, and it's completely paid for. And he comes over and he's like, hey, I want to trade with you. And you're like, what? Yeah, he's like, I want to take that clunker and give you this nice new car. So he does that. He gives me his nice new car. I give him the clunker, and he pays off the payment. So now I'm debt-free, and I have this brand new car. In a sense, that's kind of what Christ did for us on the cross. If you remember on the cross, he says, it is finished. That word that's translated, it is finished, is actually kind of used in an accounting way in the Bible. Paid in full. Meaning your debt has been paid in full. Our sin debt has been paid in full. Hallelujah. So because of that, we are righteous. We are clean. We are debt-free from a sin perspective. Okay, well, you might say, well, I get that, but sometimes I don't feel clean. You might wonder, what about the sin in my life? Now, this is how the devil attacks our righteousness. We're talking about the armor of God. This is how he does it. He'll say things like, you can't be righteous. Look at all this sin that you're still doing. How can you still be righteous? Go with me to Romans chapter 7. This is the last passage we'll be in. So I really want everyone to turn here and follow along. This is it's kind of a hard passage to follow. It's confusing. It's Paul talking. So let's just dig into it for a minute, because I think there's a lot in here that is helpful for us to understand this topic. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it's good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you are familiar with this passage? It's easy to get lost in it, all right? So let's take a look at it. Verse 15, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Can anybody relate to that? Have you ever done something or said something and afterwards you're like, I can't believe I did that? Or you just immediately regret it Or maybe after a period of time, you look back and you're like, oh man, that was really wrong. I think what Paul is starting to is referring to in this is he's kind of giving some insight into the inner battle sometimes that we face as a Christian. He's referring to this tension between the new heart, the new creation, and the old self, and what he refers to here as the flesh. The new heart versus the flesh. Look at verse 16. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it's good. So think of it like this. Let's say you're eating, you got a tub of ice cream, and you're eating it. How many of you like ice cream? We got any chocolate lovers? Neapolitan? Okay. Chocolate chip cookie dough? Okay. Let's say you're eating this tub of ice cream, and let's say you're starting to feel really stressed about the week or whatever, and so you kind of get into overeating, the sin of gluttony, essentially, right? And you eat the whole thing. Well, in a sense, let's say you eat the whole thing, and then you start to feel bad afterward. You feel bad because you ate it. In a sense, you're agreeing with God's law that gluttony is wrong. That's why you feel bad, because you know in your heart, it's wrong, because we know that idolizing food is not what we're supposed to do. We don't worship God. We don't worship sweets. We worship the Lord. The Lord is my refuge and strength, not cookie dough, right? We know that, and that's why that conviction comes, because my heart recognizes this is not what I want to do, but it's the flesh in that moment that gave in. And that's when we start to do the things, we give into the flesh, would be a better way of saying it. We give into the flesh. It's the flesh that wants to do the bad. It's their new heart that wants to do the good. Verse 17. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. He's talking about identity here. He's actually differentiating between the sin that he commits as a Christian and the fact that he's been made new and righteous by Christ. In other words, we are saints who still sin. Now, some people will say, I'm a sinner. And in that way, we are, because we still sin in our behavior, but not really in our identity. So it really just kind of depends what they mean when they say that. We're saints. We have been made righteous before God. We are clean. And yet, we are still sinning in our behavior. Think of it this way. We've got two kids, Harrison and Haley. Harrison is at that age where he's kind of throwing temper tantrums. And let's say he throws a temper tantrum and, in the midst of that, is he still our son? Absolutely, right? That's not changed. His identity as our son has not changed. His behavior is a little bit off. So remember, we are born again. We are born as children of God. So when we're saved, our identity becomes we are a child of God. So does that identity change if I gossip? Does that identity change if I overeat? Does that identity change if I'm speeding and driving recklessly? Or, you know, insert whatever sin or, you know, misbehavior you can think of. No, I'm just trying to make a point here that our identity stays the same. We're still a child of God. I'm sinning with my behavior, but my identity is not changed. Our identity is in Christ, not in our behavior. Not in our behavior. Look at verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Again, he's clarifying when he's saying in me in that moment, he's talking about his flesh, his sinful nature versus his new nature. That's where that rub is, that inward battle that we feel. Have you ever argued with yourself about whether or not to do something bad? You're like, oh, I don't want to do it. And then part of you's like, yeah, I kind of want to do it. That's the new heart and the flesh arguing inside of us. And Paul is giving insight to that. It sometimes is easy to overlook, but I think it's an important distinction to make. I mean, it's in the Bible for a reason, so I think it's important. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Paul's identifying himself as the new creation, not his flesh. I believe he's talking about Christians who still struggle with sin, which is helpful. But I don't know about you, because I'm a Christian who still struggles with sin, right? Has anybody figured out how to be perfect yet in their own, right? So this is topical. This is helpful. This is applicable. That's the word I was looking for. So how can we say that we're righteous if our behavior is not? Because our righteousness is not based on our behavior. It's based on Christ's behavior. It's based on what he's done for us. Jump down to verse 22. This is where it starts to become a little more clear. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. That's the heart. He's referring to his heart as his inner being. His heart delights in the law of God. And we could just say the law of God is love God and love others, just to make it concise. So your heart, if you're a Christian, actually wants to follow Jesus 100%. But we've got this flesh that wants to follow Jesus 0%. You get it? That's where the rub is. Hopefully that's making sense. Hopefully I'm being clear. Verse 23, but I see in my members, he's referring to his flesh, another law waging war against the law of my mind. There he's referring to his new heart and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. The real me, the real you, our inner being, wants to follow Jesus. And the flesh, the real me wants and has already confessed Jesus as Lord. My flesh wants me to be Lord. It wants to be selfish to the core. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's referring to his flesh. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then I myself, he's identifying himself as his new heart. I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. He's giving more insight into that inward battle. Okay, think of it like this. Let's say I go outside and it's real muddy and I play in the mud. And I get completely covered head to toe in mud. And then I come inside and I look down and I'm like, oh man, I am filthy. I'm covered, all right? Then I'm like, oh, look, let me take a shower, get cleaned off. Everybody awake now? All right, let's say I take a shower and I get cleaned off and all the mud is gone and I'm clean. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I'm clean. That's great. And let's say I get back out of the shower, but then I pick up the same clothes I was wearing. I pick up the same clothes, and then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh man, this shirt is filthy. Did you notice the change? I went from previously saying, I'm filthy, to this shirt is filthy. When we're born again, we're given a new heart that's clean. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleannesses. We are made clean. We are made righteous before God. Our heart wants to follow the Lord 100%, but we still have this flesh that we still kind of carry around until we go home to be with the Lord. But my identity is that I'm clean because of what Christ has done. Have you ever tried to wipe mud off of one hand when the other hand's also covered in mud? It doesn't work. We can't clean ourselves. We need clean water to clean us. Jesus is the living water that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's because of what he has done. So now that I'm clean, I recognize, oh, it's the shirt that's filthy. I'm clean, but it's this flesh that I still carry, the sinful nature. That's the filthy part. In the past, I believed the lie that I was still filthy, even as a Christian. And this is how, like I mentioned before, the devil attacks us. He was attacking my righteousness in Christ. He was trying to get me to forget what Christ had done for me. So when we sin as a Christian, we can fight back against that lie with the breastplate of righteousness. No, devil, not today. I am righteous because of what Christ has done. Not in my own works, but only because of what Christ has done. And I went through a period in my life, kind of at the tail end of college, where I really started to entertain that lie and believe that lie, that I guess I'm really filthy because of all of my sin that I still had as a Christian. And it took a Christian brother, a friend, to come beside me and point to the scriptures And remind me that of the righteousness we have in Christ. What scriptures? Ezekiel 36, the ones we read today. Oh, I'm made clean. I've been given a new heart. Jeremiah 31. Oh, God's written his law in my heart. I actually desire to do God's will. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm a new creation. I'm the righteousness of God. But then I was like, okay, well, what about my current sin? That led me to Romans 7. And that's when I realized, oh, I'm a saint who still sins in my behavior, but in my identity, I'm righteous. So if you're hearing lies about your righteousness, it might sound something like this. I can't believe you did that. You must not be saved. If you were really saved, you wouldn't be doing that. Those kind of thoughts we hear, that's the devil. He's trying to undermine what Christ paid for. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Now, the devil will try to condemn us, but Christ has forgiven us. If Christ sees me as clean, I'm clean. His view of me, his opinion of me is the truth, not the devil's, not the world's, and sometimes not even myself, because if I'm believing a lie, then I think of myself worse off than God does. So, all of this to say, we don't use this as a license to sin. We don't take advantage of God's grace. It's not like a get-out-of-jail-free card. God loves to forgive. I love to sin. All right, here we go. It's not that. We love the Lord, right? We walk in step with the Lord because we love him in our new heart. The more we walk in step with him, the more the flesh kind of fades away. But we still have to take responsibility for what we do in our flesh. This is not like the devil made me do it. And we kind of throw off the blame, throw off the responsibility onto him, right? If I steal a car in my flesh as a Christian, I'm probably going to have to be held responsible for that, okay? Now, Christ has forgiven me, and I'm righteous in God's eyes, but that doesn't mean that the world necessarily sees it that way. And that's sometimes pretty difficult to kind of navigate. But we choose to walk in step with the Spirit, and that makes me not want to walk in my flesh. You and I are righteous in God, or righteous before God through Christ. And the more we realize what Christ has done, the more we walk in step with him out of gratitude and out of love. Then we go to heaven, and our flesh is done away with. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says we're given a resurrection body. Whatever that looks like, I'm not fully sure. Maybe it looks something like the one Jesus had after he was resurrected from the grave. I'm not fully sure. But I do know it will be new. And it will be clean, just like my heart is already clean. Which means that rub, that pull, the 100% wanting to follow the Lord and 0% wanting to follow the Lord, that will end. The flesh will be done away with. The devil will be done away with. We will have resurrected flesh, you call it that, or a glorified body that will want to follow the Lord 100%. There'll be no hindrances, no distractions, no pull to do what I don't really want to do. It's going to be awesome. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. But in the meantime, we still have this to contend with. But let's not be butterflies that still think they're caterpillars and are being contained by that lie. Christ has created us new. We are a new creation. So let's walk in our new identity in Christ. That we are clean and we are righteous because of what he has done. So when we hear the lie that our current sin makes us filthy, we can come back against that with the truth that we're a saint. Yes, we still sin, but we are a saint. And we fight back against that lie by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. You've paid the penalty for our sin. You've done what we could never do in our own strength, in our own efforts. Lord, we love you. We're absolutely dependent upon you. We want to walk more and more in step with you, not out of a legalism kind of a thing, not out of a we feel like we have to, but because we want to. Our hearts want to 100%. Lord, may our flesh become less and less effective in our lives. May we walk more and more in step with you each and every day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.